to the Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we're going to discuss an article from the August issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled Challenges of Beef Calves Born in July, August, and September. To have a conversation about this, I'm joined today by the author, Carla Wilkie, who's a cow-calf and stocker management specialist based at the Panhandle Research and Extension Center. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Dr. Wilkie, I would say in Nebraska over the last 15 to 20 years, we've seen an expansion of fall calving cows for a lot of different reasons, but those fall calving cows also come with some challenges that we need to be aware of, especially that newborn calf in a time of year when we can have quite a bit of heat, and that can be a challenge just as cold temperatures can as well. Talk through with us some preparations, some things we need to understand about some of the challenges for that fall-born calf.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of times people think, well, if we move to summer, fall, then we get out of calving in snowstorms and, you know, chilled baby calves and that kind of thing. And that's true, we do. But every season and every facet of agriculture comes with its own issues. And so this baby calf that may be born in a pretty warm summertime months, it can also be at risk for dehydration. The baby calf's body is about 75% water, just like a human baby. And so, you know, dehydration can happen extremely quickly for that baby. And it may not be so much the newborn as in a spring herd. You know, you walk up there, the cow's calving, and the calf gets chilled because he doesn't get dried off quickly. But this summer born calf, it may be the day old, 2 day old calf that starts to struggle because of maybe 100 degree ambient temperature day.
Talk about just the importance of having free water available to these baby calves, because I think sometimes we don't think about that very much, but that's a critical component.
Yeah, if that baby can't reach the water tank and we don't think about them, you know, getting water, because at that point they're pretty much just nursing. But because of that elevated ambient temperature, they may need additional fluids. And if they don't know to go to the tank, or they don't go to the tank, or they can't reach it or whatever, it may be on us to provide them a bottle of electrolytes in addition to them nursing the cow, simply because, again, with that body weight being 75% water, that's going to go fast when they get overheated. I think another compounding issue with that can be that heat stresses that baby. And then we all know that in that spring herd, you know, when they get cold and stressed, then the immune system's challenged a little bit, and the bacteria in the gut can multiply and get out of hand. Well, same thing can happen with a fall-born baby that's hot. They get stressed, then those bacteria begin to multiply, they get ill, now they have a fever, now it's a hot day, and they have a fever, and this is a baby that probably better get some electrolytes in it pretty quick.
You also mentioned in the article the importance of shade for these calves. And just as we get a chilled calf into a warm environment, we may need to get a calf that's overheated into a cooler environment. I guess talk about that a little bit, because I don't think we necessarily think about that very much.
Right. If there's a way to develop kind of a shady area that is only accessible to the calves, because if we have a nice shady area, there's probably going to be a bunch of mama cows standing in it. And that's not always the cleanest and best environment for the baby to be there if they're standing there stomping flies. But if we have an area where, you know, we can get those babies some shade away from the mamas and stuff, and they need some airflow with that too. Sometimes what we think is, well, it's, you know, a little shady there, they may not pick that out because it doesn't seem much cooler to them, but it probably really is because it's out of the direct sun. But I've noticed with fall born herds, sometimes manually I've had to move those calves to a cooler area. They just don't even, I guess they just get really hot, and then they just try to not move around much, and then they just sit there and continue to dehydrate. So fluids for that calf, shade for that calf, maybe a cool towel to wipe them down. You know, we think about having a warm towel right out of the dryer that we might rub down a cold stressed calf. Well, you know, same thing with that calf, trying to take a cool rag or something and kind of wiping him down and helping him reduce that elevated body temperature some, could he could benefit from that too.
One of the other challenges in Western Nebraska, anyway, is we can go from extreme heat to a snowstorm and it seems like just a matter of weeks. So we can really, I guess, flip-flop the challenges a little bit. That presents some challenges for these calves as well.
It does. And you know, some people think, well, a springborn herd, they endure some snow too. And they do, but it's usually short-lived in the spring, and we're headed into longer days and we're headed into some warmer days. A fall-born calf is going the opposite direction. So we got him through the August heat and the September heat. And then we may start having snow flying in October, November, and now we have a fairly small animal that's going to endure some pretty cold days for the rest of the winter. And so again, if the pair has some wind protection, something to get behind, I've watched those fall calves just kind of, you know, we're talking a 3 or 4 month old calf that's on the cow. And the cows come into the windbreak area, and those calves just kind of stand in between all of them. They probably get some body heat off, but you know, get some heat off of those cows' body heat. But that can be really important. The windbreak, I just cannot emphasize enough the benefits of a good windbreak for those fall-born pairs. But also a spring-born calf, as that calf is beginning to develop its rumen, it's out on lush green grass. And so that calf has an opportunity to, in addition to milk, take in some pretty high quality feed. The fall-born calf, unless you are in a region that, you know, has some annual forages, winter wheat, that whatever, that type of thing, then a fall-born calf, especially in the upper Great Plains, is probably going to be on some pretty poor quality forage. That's going to reduce passage rate, therefore it's going to reduce intake, and so that calf's nutrient intake is reduced, and so their ability to produce heat from the fermentation in the rumen is reduced, and their average daily gain is going to be lower than what you would expect in a spring herd because of that lower intake of poor quality feeds and probably expending a little more energy to stay warm as opposed to a, you know, a springborn calf that's 4 months old in the summer.
So it sounds like from what you've described, these fall-born calves might be great candidates for some creep feed. Is that correct?
They can be. You're probably going to have to, if the pair is out on some poor quality feed, then you're probably going to need to supplement the cow too, because she's going to have a high nutrient need for lactation and for her own needs to stay warm. Really, in the article, we talked about the calf, so we didn't get into the needs of the cow, but it's worth mentioning that in order for that cow to rebreed in that winter feed, you know, she's going to need some pretty good supplements. So if you're feeding the calf just alongside the cow, then you have to account for about 1.5% of his body weight on a dry matter basis that he is also going to need to have put out there in addition to the cow feed. If you have a place where they can go through a creek gate or something and eat their own feed, that works really well too, that they could have some better quality feed that's available just to them. That can certainly work too. The other maybe advantage to the fall-born calf is that, say he's born in August and you wean him in March, then you may have a couple of months there to get him kind of lined out, maybe growing a little better, and then that calf can make a good candidate for somebody going to summer grass. And so it can be a calf that has some high interest in him at the sale barn come spring.
Anything else on these calves you think would be valuable to review as we point towards wrapping up?
I think that it's always good to kind of make a plan and figure out what are the pros and cons of this, what are we maybe going to run into, how are we going to be prepared for that, how are we going to handle that, when are we going to do our vaccination schedules, how does that work around everything else we have to do, what's our alternative plan if it snows pretty deep and we aren't going to be able to get in there with our regular feeding equipment, you know, what do we have on hand, how can we make this work before we get into it, because any problems that we can head off before they arise, or anything that we can already know what we're going to do when this happens, it goes a lot smoother than trying to figure it out after it's happened.
Well, I think in Nebraska, we are unique. We have all these irrigated acres of corn stalk residue. We also have access to ethanol co-products, and grass is pretty valuable here. So I can build some scenarios in my mind where a fall calving cow for a operation that's got a lot of crop residue and has access to ethanol co-products could be a good fit. But as you well said, there's some management practices. There's some things that need to be thought through before just jumping into that.
Absolutely, I agree.
Well, for more information on the topic that was discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, you can find the article at beef.unl.edu. At the website, there's also additional resources on this topic.